Ask the podcast coach for June 13th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, yeah. It is Saturday morning. And the learning has already taken place. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where we answer your podcast questions live. We've already got a caller, which is really cool. SP, hang in for just a second. My name is Dave Jackson from theschoolofpodcasting.com, wearing my brand new No One Will Punch You in the Face t-shirt, courtesy of Ryan Parker of foodcraftsman.com. And it's got that new t-shirt smell. Yes. And joining me as always, the one, the only, don't be fooled by cheap imitations, Jim Collison from The Average Guy TV. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. That smell is probably the death of cotton plants. That's the only thing I can think of.
Something like that. But
something like that.
If you're just joining us, we are at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And we've already got a caller, which is cool. So hello to the chat room. And ending in 820, we already know who it is. It's Stargate Pioneer. How's it going, buddy?
All right. How are you guys?
Good. Let's do this one. We already know it's Stargate Pioneer. What's your website and what's your question?
Well, legendsofshield.com, and I was just listening on Mixler from the gym this morning, and you guys needed somebody to call in and help with the phone line to make sure everything was working. So I decided, hey, long-time listener, first-time caller, I might as well chime in.
There you go. I appreciate that. Yeah, I learned that on my Mac, when I tell it to listen to the headphone jack, it automatically mutes it. Why? Now, first of all, I'm not even sure why it changed. It should be still listening from last week, but, you know, computers, they're always fun. And I just happened to look up and saw the little check mark on mute, and I was like, oh, well, that probably has something to do with the reason why we couldn't hear you. So thank you so much. How's everything going with your podcast?
Oh, it's going great. We're just adding some new segments in for the summer. We're in the off-season from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're doing a rewatch of the Daredevil and retooling the podcast as we go. So that's one of the cool thing about an off-season. I'm sorry, I'm a little out of breath. I'm at the gym.
Ah.
That's one wonderful thing.
It's a good thing.
You don't have to wait for Christmas to retool some of your podcast.
There you go. Yeah, it's true. Time to revamp and rework and go that route. So awesome. Well, did you have any questions for us? Or were you just, I appreciate you helping us test out the phone before we cut you loose. Did you have any questions?
Well, not right now, guys. Just enjoy listening to the show, and I'll keep listening. And if I have anything else, I'll call back in later.
All right, my man. Well, thank you so much for helping us out. And
get back after it.
Yeah, exactly. Get back on.
You got it, guys. Catch you later.
All right, take care. Yep, you. See you.
And if you want to call in, that number is 347-850-8007. 347-850-8007. Of course, we do have the chat room as well over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live, which is now no longer on the same server as the School of Podcasting. So the days of having the issues of logging in are behind us. So that's
Well, we talked earlier too about new hardware.
Yeah,
just before we got on, and I think, you know, being a podcaster and having struggling hardware is just, it's just no fun. I mean, not only is it wrong, but it's no fun. So, you know, you got to really look. I think when we think about hardware, the CPU and the GPU are the two most important components of what you're buying in there. So if you're going to chimp on anything, go cheap on monitors, and everybody's going to differ with me on this, but you can go cheap on monitors, you can go cheap on keyboards, you can use the mice that come with it. Those things for podcasting, I don't think are as necessarily as important as the processing speed that you get out of that CPU in particular. And if you're chimping on RAM too, and that's hard to do anymore. Most systems come with an adequate amount of RAM to get that done. But it's just no fun when you're, and this is mostly on the PC side. The Mac side, they don't let you do that, right? You can't buy a crappy Mac, right? They don't exist. You spend premium money for great equipment. That's the promise on the Mac side. On the PC side, I mean, you can buy I was just out yesterday looking. My wife's computer blew up yesterday. And so we've been thinking through the replacement process for her. And you can, man, I saw some laptops for like $229. I was like, oh, good heavens. That's got to be some of the worst equipment.
Yeah.
No, right? No demand. Does it work? Yes. Would it work for podcasting?
Probably not.
Right? Yeah. So one of those kinds of things, especially on the Intel side, you know, I run a Core i7, pretty beefy, 16 gig of RAM, a solid state hard drive. That's kind of my main rig. And then everything else around it can kind of be average stuff. But the one you're going to do your video processing on, and this is on the PC side. If you have a Mac, again, you don't need to worry about it. But if you're on the PC side, spend a little money on that thing and make it sure, you know, you can make it as good as a Mac if you just spend the money that you're going to spend on a Mac. So there you go.
Everybody wants to know, for those of you that are listening to the show, Jim's shirt, my shirt says no one will punch you in the face. Jim's shirt says everything is better. Bacon makes everything better.
Bacon makes everything better.
Everybody's like, where did you get your shirt, Jim?
It's a Woot. It's a Woot shirt, or you can find it. This is a really popular shirt. So if you just Google this, you can find that out there available to you. It's one of my favorite shirts.
I was doing training at American Greetings here in Cleveland, and they had this big employee recognition thing, and they were serving, and I'm not making this up, chocolate-covered bacon.
Oh, delicious.
And I was like, really? I've never heard of that.
So. They have these little trays now where you put the bacon on the inside and then you can put things and the bacon makes a little crust around. It's like a bacon muffin. it's unbelievable what we're doing with bacon these days. So I'm not against any of it, by the way. I'm for it all. I'm for bacon.
And there goes the chat room. Everybody's going to go make some bacon now. It's like, excellent.
Hey, it's delicious.
Hey, we did have a call come in. So if you can't be here at 10:30, you can go out to askthepodcastcoach.com/contact and leave us a message. And this is from Kim. She's a lot of times is here. She does the On the Table podcasts with an S, and she's got this question for us.
Hi, Dave and Jim. This is Kim from onthetablepodcast.com. I have a question about doing live interviews. I need to interview a gentleman, and we tried using Skype with his cell phone, and the quality was just horrible. It's not usable at all. So I'm trying to find a solution to this problem and thinking that maybe a mixer is what I need, and it doesn't solve the problem of him not having a microphone. But maybe if I just send him a microphone, he can plug it into his computer, and we can have a Skype call, and it'll be all right. I'm really at a loss to know what's my best starting point. Just buy him an ATR 2100 and send it to him? Or should I buy a mixer and try to meet in person? I'd love your opinion, and I'm going to miss the call this week because I've got something else to do on Saturday morning. So if you'd give me an answer, I'll listen later. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye-bye.
And I know you've had some experience. I already worked with Kim this week. I've already got a solution, but what was your experience with shipping people mics?
Yeah, at Gallup, that's all we do. So with our guests, they get a mic. You know, I bought 10 or 15 of those ATR 2100s or the 2005. So we have both versions of them. Just was whatever was cheaper when I was ordering them. I ordered them five or so at a time. And it's a great experience. One of the things, it's just so much easier to throw that in a box, ship it to them. That's costly, right? You're going to spend a little money for this. Throw it in a box, ship it to them. The other thing you can do is have Amazon drop ship it to them. So you're not paying the shipping, and then they can just, you can send them a label or they can ship it back. Or if they're local, you can just go pick it up. We have some gals that I work with on RadioHigherEd.com, and they use headsets, little Plantronic headsets. That's good enough quality for them. And they ship those things all around, or when they're in town, they give them, you know, to the guest, and then they go pick it up from them. So, yeah, mixer doesn't solve this problem for sure, unless you're having them come in. But the one drawback to that is these things take a beating when you ship them all around. And on the ATR 2100s, the guests always leave the cords plugged in the back, and we've had two of them snap in the process, because they don't care. They're just rolling it up and throwing it in the box and just getting that thing out on the road as fast as they can. So those are the drawbacks. The equipment takes a beating, and it's fairly expensive. I mean, when you think about, you know, you're dropping $60 on the mic, and then you're paying probably anywhere between $7 to $10 to ship it. We pay to have it shipped back and forth. And somebody said, Jim, why don't you just let them keep it? Right? Cause it's $60. We're already $20 in on the shipping thing. Some of these guests, you know, we've had on multiple times, and we've shipped them multiple mics. So that's also a couple of my regular hosts. I've just shipped mics to them and say, keep them. And these are your mics. So that's how we do it, Dave.
That's cool. The one thing that I, in working with Kim over email, I asked her, I forget how she said they originally connected. Now then, I was listening, but I wasn't listening. But the one thing that they did, I said, because the guy needed a microphone. I'm like, that's really weird. Because if you don't have a microphone, I'm not a big fan of, you know, having like calling them on their phone, because, well, it's going to sound like a phone because you're going through the phone lines. That's really what makes a phone sound like a phone. I said, if he's anywhere near Wi-Fi, have him load Skype on his phone and connect to Skype to Skype him using his phone. And she said he did that and it sounded a whole lot better. So she didn't have to buy a mixer or anything like that. She just had him connect to Skype via Wi-Fi. I'm not sure how they were doing it originally, but she said that was awesome and it was easy and it wasn't a lot of tech involved. It's always interesting because I know there are certain people that, you know, they'll say, well, just buy, like, here's the package that every podcaster should buy. And I had somebody this week ask me, they were going to buy a USB interface, like PreSonus, one of those ones where you can plug like two XLRs into it, and then buy a mixer. And it was just them. And I'm like, you'll go one or the other. You don't really, yes, that's it.
I have one of those right here sitting right at the desk.
Yeah.
You bet. No, this is not the answer for that.
And they were saying, but they were going to buy that and a mixer. And they were wanting to know, like, how would I plug the USB device into the mixer? And I'm like,
no.
How many people are in the room? And they're like, just me. And I'm like, no. And
it's, don't do that. That's way too much of an overkill for what you're doing there.
Yeah, but that looks like a pretty cool unit. I was actually reading the manual on it. And if I had, you know, two of us sitting here and wanted to go into the computer and that whole nine yards. It's also interesting what you can do now on an iPad. I was talking about cables. I was playing with this. I could probably use Boss Jack as well, but there was another app. And I have one of these little cables that basically it's a USB to FireWire. And I plugged my ATR2100 into it.
USB to Lightning.
USB to Lightning. What did I say? Yeah. FireWire. Yeah, USB to Lightning. Thank you.
That would have been 94.
Yeah. And it was really cool that you could, you know, easily just connect to an iPad. And there's some really pretty cool apps that you can do that. I was doing something with video, and I wanted to have good audio on my video. And that's one of the things I'm going to do today is go out and buy a like a mic stand holder for the iPad, because there are some things I might just use my iPad to shoot the video.
Yeah. No, and those have the new ones have really good mics. I mean, an iPhone 6, the newest version of the iPad, any of the Galaxy S5 or 6 models, they all have really good built-in microphones to them. And if you get them close to you, I mean, I've watched a lot of people periscoping or Meerkat with just their phones, and the sound's really good. I mean, it's not this quality, but it's better than the phone, and you can get some good stuff out of it. So that might work as well.
But that's one where
John was asking me, Dave, real quick. Let me go back real quick. Plantronics, if you're going to do a headset, Plantronics makes some pretty good USB headsets. Now, I haven't bought one in a while. That was when I very first started podcasting. That was what I started with. You're not, excuse me, that microphone is not very big. So you're not going to get the greatest sound out of it, but it is a way. And like there's a, you know, on Amazon, I'm looking at a $25 pair right here. If you're going to buy a pair and ship it to a guest that you're going to have on maybe a couple times and they can just keep it, that might be a good way to go. At $25, it's light. It's you know, they're kind of disposable. I hate to say $25 is disposable, but that's another way. Ship them a headset, USB, they plug it in, they can hear you, you get the microphone, and it's not bad. It's not great. It's not bad.
Right. I've heard some that are, you know, definitely they're, you know, obviously you're not going to.
Yeah, they're tinny. You can hear, it sounds like they're on it, but it's clear, right? It's not roomy because that mic is right there by their mouth. And so, you know, it's just like one of these microphones with no, if you like, you took out all the mix, right? If you EQ'd it to the worst possible settings, that's pretty much what it sounds like.
Yeah. So what I was going to do, I actually have a 2005 that's sitting in a box, and I thought what I will do, because rather than Castly, because I thought, well, I'll just use this cable. And I'll leave the 2100 in the boom arm, and I'll just plug that cable and plug this cable in and go to my iPad. And I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to spend a lot of time unplugging and plugging and unplugging and plugging that USB. I'm like, I kind of like the way that is. So I think I'm going to set up a separate, I've got the table behind me with the 2020 on it that's doing nothing. And I'm like, I'll just use that stand for the 2015 or 2005, excuse me. And if I want to do video stuff, that'll be the rig. If I need to record most of my stuff when it's video, it's screen capture stuff. So.
Yeah, it seems like the podcasting community's calmed down a little bit on hardware over the last month or two or three. It seemed like back in the winter, maybe it was just because it's winter and people are like a little cabin fever, but it seemed like for a while, man, everything was about equipment and we were just hashing out mixers and microphones and, you know, all the various stuff that go with it. And it really seems like it's settled down. I'm not seeing as many, you know, comments about should, you know, obviously we had the question here about the mixer, but, right. I think really the mixer is your last option. And I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan of bringing in your guest in local. I don't like a room studio. I like them to be somewhere else.
When I was doing the podcast with my wife, I was surprised what a hassle that was.
Yes.
Because I had to make sure that we were not like sitting side by side. We were pointing away from each other. And I had to bust out some noise gates because she was bleeding into my, now it didn't make a huge deal that she was bleeding, but you know, if somebody coughed and you wanted to cut that out, it was kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah. It's not great. I just like everybody in their own room. It's easier to edit. You get better camera angles. You get them watching the screen and not you,
yeah.
You know? And so I prefer it. I don't think that's good or bad. I think it's just a preference.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we should, again, always like to remind people that if you got a question, you can call on in. It's 347-850-8007. That is 347-850-8007. And we should probably give a little shout-out to the one and only Todd Cochran. Was announced this week. He's going to be inducted into the Podcaster Hall of Fame, whatever they're calling it over there, Podcast Movement. I thought that was cool. And then I saw Todd had commented in a Facebook group. I always kind of go Saturday morning and just look for questions and see what people are talking about. And this was interesting. It kind of makes me worried because Todd said, somebody asked, like, how often should I release a show? I'm like, that's a good question. And Todd said, 3 a week is really a sweet spot for shows that are trying to grow. We see shows that are doing 2 shows a week growing 5 times faster than those doing 1 show, and those shows, that's what he says, doing 1 show, and those shows doing 3 times a week grow as fast as 8 times faster. He says there are a couple variables. Those doing 2 shows a week, 90 minutes max, 3 times a week, 60 minutes max. Shows that are at least are less than once a week have very poor growth rates, often less than 1% a month. And I saw that. I'm like, that's really good information to know. But I'm like, I already know there was one guy I was talking to was talking about trying to do more than 1 a day. And I was like, wow. I'm like,
yeah.
So I heard that. I'm like, that's really cool. But I'm kind of worried that that's just going to lead people to start putting out more and more episodes. And we can definitely revisit that right now. We're going to go talk with ending in 0136. You're on with Dave and Jam. Dave and Jam, yeah.
It's my new nickname.
It is.
Jam.
Jam Collison. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, it's Kim Slusher from the Distracted Life Podcast.
How are you?
Hi, Jam. I'm good. Hi, Dave. my question is, you know, I'm about 9 months into my podcast. And I'm wanting to use the summertime here to like shake up and maybe redo my format a little bit.
Okay.
And I was going to like do a survey and stuff, but I have a relatively small audience. So I was kind of wondering what your guys' thought is. You know, if I do a survey, get feedback from my listeners, you know, there's that whole 3% rule. You know, only 3% are going to respond. So, you know, I'm not going to get that many responses because I have a small audience. So I'm just kind of curious your guys' thought on surveying my audience on improvement.
I think it's a great idea. I learned a ton. The one thing you have to do, don't make my mistake. I told my audience about my survey, which one of the things I was really looking for was input on my length. And I asked at the end of the show. So anyone that thought it's too long had already tuned out. So I went back. I think I talked about it like 3 weeks in a row, and I made sure the 1 week to talk about it within the first 5 minutes. Because anybody that made it to the 48-minute mark is going to say, oh, no, I like my shows long. So that was one thing that I went back and went, oh, yeah, that was kind of stupid. I think it's a good idea to do. I almost want to do it like yearly just to take the temperature and find out what they want to hear. Realize the good thing is they can give you all sorts of feedback, and you can ignore every piece of it. It is kind of at times a little you have to get that little second layer of skin out, because you will have those people that will say, well, I really, really like this, I like that, but man, I hate it when you do this and that, or this is too long or that. And so if you're asking for feedback, you know, be ready to hear it. But you are right that a lot of people, that 3% rule, and what that is, you know, you ask a survey, you put out a survey, 3% of your audience, if you're lucky, will respond. And that always seems a little harsh. You can do things like, for me, I gave somebody a year subscription at the School of Podcasting. So if you can throw out an Amazon card or something to kind of entice them to, take the survey, that's always a good idea. Jim, your thoughts on...
Always survey. Yeah. I mean, even if you get three back, it's better than nothing. So I would never hesitate to drop a survey in there and just take it for what it's worth. Figure out ways to get them more engaged so that maybe you can break that 3% rule and get more like 10%. That'd be great. But yeah, I absolutely would, for sure.
Yeah, and you might do, like, if you come up and you're like, wow, based on this feedback, I'm really going to be making a lot of changes. Well, then maybe announce those. Hey, in the future, we're thinking of doing A, B, and C. Now make it a yes or no. So, like, do you think we should, you know, do three shows a week instead of one? Do you think we should make them, you know, 15 minutes and not 35, and let them vote on that? And really let them tailor it if you want to. That would be another way to do it. So find out what they want to change, and then let them, almost like a double opt-in email. Okay, we're thinking of making this change now. Are you sure you want to do this? That might be a way to do it. And anytime you do that, you're going to get feedback from your audience, and that's always a good thing. And while they're answering, you know, start having some sort of conversation with them as well. Hey, thanks for your feedback. You know, do you do a podcast? What do you do? Where are you at? That kind of stuff, and get to know them.
Yeah, I did have a contest earlier in the year, and in the contest, I asked for some, you know, feedback in the contest as part of the things to enter my contest. And someone gave me feedback that I didn't want to implement, and, you know, I did exactly what you're talking about. I started a dialogue with them back and forth, and so that was nice. But again, I only, for my contest where I was giving away stuff, I only had like two people enter. It's like, okay.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Okay, well,
That is really hard when you do a contest, right? And you're hoping you've got something and you're going to give it away. And then people are like, meh, you know, and you're like, oh, this didn't. I mean, we've given away some expensive equipment, and I've gotten maybe 15 or 20 people to sign up for it. And you're like, that's not what I was hoping for, right? And so that is a bummer. I wish I had an answer. Like, you really, you know, what creates this viral, you know, feedback loop where people are engaged and are willing to do it, and, you know, those kinds of things. That's tough. I think it kind of depends on your audience and who you're reaching. And, you know, we quit doing contests altogether. I really quit giving stuff away because it just wasn't that effective. I mean, I think the podcasting community ran the gamut on, you know, hey, sign up for my newsletter and get a chance to win a Drobo or something like that. You know, I think we ran the gamut on people like, I'm not going to win. It doesn't really matter. I think that individual engagement, finding things, you know, we turned on our site, we turned our Amazon affiliate link into a scholarship fund where people can, I'll buy tech equipment for the listeners and they can test it and write about it or come on the show or whatever. And they get to keep it, right? And that's that engagement thing where it's not a giveaway. They're kind of earning it. My guys were kind of like, don't give me stuff, you know, I got plenty of stuff. Let's get me involved in the community in some way. So maybe there's a way for your audience to get them more involved either in the podcast by recognizing what they say in the feedback openly by name, some of those kinds of things, or just various ways for them to contribute without it having to be a giveaway or a freebie or a newsletter, you know, all those little tricks that we do. You know, think through what does your audience really want, and then see if you can come up with some derivatives of that might engage them.
I think the other thing you might want to look into when you're doing a survey, keep it open for a while. And then that might get people to sign up like, hey, you know, we announced last week it's the survey. I want to thank everybody who signed up. But right now you've got a 1 in 12 chance of winning the blah, blah, blah. And people are like, oh, hold on a second. If I got only 12 people, and that might get them to, it's a bit of transparency because you have to kind of admit, hey, guess what? Nobody signed up for the survey. But it might then spur them on because it's a sense of urgency. You know, you have to sign up by this date. That's when the survey is going to close. And here's this and that. And, I know there's an old stat from church that if somebody wants every person in church to hear an announcement, they have to announce it 3 weeks in a row because not everybody comes every week. So we're always assuming that everybody listens to every lovely morsel that we put out. So you might have to repeat that a couple weeks in a row to make sure everybody hears it.
Yeah, great. This is all great stuff. I never would have thought of it on my own, so I'm glad I called.
One more tip on surveys.
Yeah.
Make the choices even. So if you say, rate my sound quality, 1 is bad, 4 is good, don't make it 5. Because if you make it 5, that means they can go 3 right down the middle. If you go even numbers, you kind of got to go, is it a little more good or a little more bad? Even numbers are the way to go. That way they have to, there's no like, I'll just give them straight 3s for everything. So,
okay.
That's my days of a customer service rep. I used to have to do surveys, so. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye.
One more suggestion, add bacon to the survey. That would absolutely. Well, we got bacon pancakes. This is all from chat. Daniel has talked about maybe some bacon pancakes would do the job.
Well,
those are delicious, too.
Well, and the chat room had some really good points about the whole podcasting, more times a week.
Frequency, yeah.
Yeah, and Daniel made the same point. I brought this up to the School of Podcasting group this morning. They said, if you're doing more shows, maybe those people are also doing more promotion. Because I know I'd lack that a lot. I mean, I put out an episode and I tweet it and Facebook and go, all right, that's it. And it's like, especially if you're just using Twitter, the chances of somebody seeing your tweet are pretty slim. You know, you got to do that more than once. Without doing it 150 times an hour, we're not talking Twitter bombing, but
one of the things that's helped me with that is that, you know, I post all these different networks. And so each one of those networks gets a tweet. So like I do a Shout Engine. And so I create a separate tweet for that. That goes, I use Buffer to kind of schedule all my tweets. So I'll go in to Shout Engine, grab their Twitter. They got a Twitter link. It pops up their pre-formatted Twitter with all the stuff that you want in it. Then I change it around a little bit. I might add a hashtag or two. I always try to mention the network that I'm on, just so the at their hashtag. So in this case, it would be at Shout Engine. And then I drop that in Buffer and just let it tweet. So I have a network Twitter account that handles all this. And I tell people, if you want to follow me, follow Jay Collison. And if you want to get spammed, follow The Average Guy TV on Twitter. That's my broadcast account, right? That's the one I use to kind of advertise for it. So, you know, I'll load up 6 or 7 after a podcast. I'll load up 6 or 7 or 8 tweets based on the different networks that I use to get those out. So that kind of helps me. The way I do that is I have a checklist. I just have a Google Doc. It's where do I post? And when I'm in post-production and I'm getting everything advertised, it's got a checklist of things that, okay, did you put it on Facebook? I have 2 groups on Facebook that I put it in. Did you put it in Google Plus? Did you load it to Twitter? Did it go out to Audioboom? Not out to, but are you using these channels? Because some of those channels support really sweet Twitter players, like Audioboom is one of them. When you tweet with an Audioboom, it shows Spreaker is another great one that looks great on Twitter. If you tweet their link, your followers get the player that's in there. And I keep thinking I have, maybe it's a 1% or a half a 1% or something odds, but somebody will click on that play. And out of that, those people that click, maybe 1% will go, oh, that's kind of cool, and make their way over. You never know. Takes 2 seconds to set up and to do, right? Once you get a process down and going. But it's just that way to kind of keep, you know, I have this SEO, and that's not really the right thing, but I have this marketing checklist that I go through and I do all these things, and that kind of helps me. But Dave, I get it. You get done producing a podcast, right? And you're just tired.
Yeah.
You've been listening to yourself for 6 hours and you're like, get this thing out of here, right? Well, why we do another one? I don't know. You know, because when you get done with one, you're just like, I don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah. It's scary. So
that's what I do. That's what helps me.
Roy in the chat room says, I've noticed in on iTunes that podcasts that publish daily or more than once a week rank higher, especially in, I'm going to throw up a little in my mouth, new and noteworthy.
Oh, there we go.
There it is. We haven't said that word in a while.
I believe it.
New and noteworthy has, it downloads are part of it. So obviously the more episodes you have, the more downloads you have. Then it is ratings and reviews. And I think total number of subscribers is in there somewhere. It has to be, because that's why these shows that are have been dead for years rank higher than other podcasts that are live, because they have more total subscribers, even though they're not putting out content anymore. And Daniel had mentioned New and Noteworthy isn't quite the push it used to be. I know the Clamorcast has been climbing up the charts. And, you know, I'm getting decent down. I'm over the average. If we say the average podcaster gets, or the mid, whatever it is that Rob always quotes out there, you know, I think I had 200 downloads for one episode already. I'm like, all right, that's kind of cool. I'll take that. But I see so many. I was talking to this guy this week that was just, it was all about New and Noteworthy. And I said, okay, what are you going to do week 9? I said, because number one, let's state that. We haven't said that in a while. We haven't, that's one of my, you know.
And now. It's time for a pet peeve.
Yeah, so one of my pet peeves is the fact that people say you only have 8 weeks to get a new and noteworthy. The truth is you can be new for 8 weeks. You can be noteworthy whenever you want. And I said, so what are you going to do when week 9 rolls around and you're not new anymore? You know, I said, because eventually you got to just, you know, go out and make good content and that whole nine yards. So, but...
yeah, you could pick up a little bit. I mean, every little bit counts. It's the combination of hustling and different, you know, I've got the story of, I have 150 listeners on Podomatic that I didn't intend to have. They've just, that's where they consume an ad. And so I keep putting it out there and keep advertising it out there. And because that's the way, you know, that's the way it kind of works for me. And so that's, I'm gaming it a little bit there. I think New and Noteworthy is a good game to play. Just don't fixate on it. Get in, get out. You're done. Okay. You've got your, you got your bump. It's going to go back down. Now move on. Create great content, you know, but there's other ways to game it.
This is, I knew this was coming. I didn't know exactly what was coming. Thanks to Rick, Rich Grimsaw in the chat room. Amazon hires NPR vice president of programming, signaling a move into original podcasting. So that'll be interesting to, Spotify now has jumped into podcasting. Maybe Audible, a lot of people don't remember this. You know, back in the day, I mean, we're talking 2005, 2006-ish. It seems like a long, I mean, when podcasting was brand new, Audible had a way where you could sell your podcast. You could actually have your podcast in Audible. I forget exactly the details of it. I think it was a little expensive, and I don't think the podcaster got a whole lot. And at that point, everybody was like, why would I buy a podcast? They're free. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if somebody brings back that model. You know, people.
I think it's actually not a bad model to have two channels.
Yeah.
Have your podcast out there for that you like a Patreon, and then put it somewhere for free, right? Because chances are you may pick up some folks who just want to pay for it. That's their way of. I mean, people ascribe value when they pay for something, right? So if they pay $5 for it, it has $5 in value. I've told this story, I think, before, where our company had a Christmas party, and it was the last Christmas, the company had gotten sold to another company. And this was the last Christmas party ever, and they charged $5 for the Christmas party. Everybody was up in arms. How dare you? It's the last one. You guys have plenty of money, blah, blah, blah. Well, when the night came, you got there to check in. They gave you your $5 back. And they're like, spend this on, you know, whatever, spend it on drinks, have whatever, right? And everybody was like, first of all, foot and mouth for a lot of people. Second of all, they knew that if they charged $5, it would change the equation on people showing up that night. And so typically when you have a free Christmas party, you probably get 50%. That night, 85%, because they had held a deposit. Even $5 motivates people, right? That's like, I paid for this. I'm going to go there. I think it's the same thing with your podcast. If you put it out for free, and many of us do, that's the value it has. It's free, right? But if you go, you know what? My podcast is really worth a buck, and you sell it, I think you'll find people who will buy it that way. Not everybody. You're still going to have the ones that come up for the freebie. And by the way, when they come over to the freebie, they're going to think they're getting a deal because they are getting it for free, but in their mind, it's worth a dollar. So you know, I think Joyride or Patreon or some of those or some places you could put it and charge for it. I'd put it out there and charge for it. If nobody buys it, what if there's sometimes some costs to getting into these platforms, but what do you really lose in that? You might have some, that way you're like, hey, you know what? If you want to support me, I have a paid option for the podcast. If you don't, it's still free. It's a premium. I mean, it's a freemium model, right? With podcasting. I don't think we talk about that method enough. Looks like we have a caller.
We do. Ending in, as soon as it comes up, there we go. 3159. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, this is John Morgan, and I'm from Cocoa Beach, and I'm standing on my balcony looking at the ocean, and I wanted to talk to you about the NPR-style podcast.
Oh.
I was listening to Show Me Your Mic.
Okay.
And they played a little clip from the Slack Variety Pack podcast about the startup podcast, and they were making fun of it. And the way they present it, and the guys over at Dan Benjamin, he was saying how the Logic multi-track on those things were just crazy with the overlaying mm-hmm. one track over the other.
Well,
and go ahead.
Here's my thought. I listened to Startup, and Startup put the first episode of their new show called The Mystery Show. And I was like, oh, cool. And Alex Bloomberg was explaining how he's worked with this woman for years, and she does all sorts of original stuff, and one of her hobbies is solving mysteries. And I'm like, oh, cool. So here it comes, and I'm on The Mystery Show. And this week we're gonna look at, one of my friends went to a video store. She had to fill out a card and start a membership. And the next day when she went to return the movie, the video store was gone. Dun, dun, dun. And I was like, okay, well, I don't care. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, well, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to end up with a free movie. And they sprinkled it with fun, happy Charlie Brown music. At one point, they interviewed like people in the neighborhood. Like, do you remember what happened to the video store? Oh, I like movies. I mean, it sounded like me. They were going on these giant tangents. And I'm like, what does this guy have to do with, you know, finding out what happened to do with the movie place? And he's talking about his favorite movies and he's never been married. And I was just like, what does this have to do? But it was a real conversation. You could tell it happened on the street. And, oh, listen to this guy. He's a real New Yorker because he talks like this. You know, yeah, I like movies. They're good, you know. And I'm like, okay, it's real, but it's real boring. Real people does not equate real interesting. And at the end, at the end of it, they said, well, in the end, either A, you're lying, or the store went out of business and you missed all the signs saying they're going out of business. And I'm like, I don't care about either one of those. So to me, the whole format, it's not the format and the way people talk. And here's the music and blah. And next, and they're very descriptive, you know. So today, Jim is wearing a brown bacon shirt and he's blah. Okay, yeah, you're painting the theater of the mind, but it's all icing if there's no real story. End of rant. Okay.
I listened to that thing, and you're right, and that's what the funny thing about that Slack podcast, they made fun of it. It was awesome. I think that's how Rush Limbaugh made his money, is making fun of those kooky NPR guys and some of the absurd stuff they do. And then Todd Cochran, I was listening to the new media show, and he says these guys are just burning through VC money like it's going out of style. And NPR, if it wasn't for the government subsidizing them all those years, it wasn't viable. And now that the government's pulled the funding out of that stuff, they're going to burn through the VC money, and there's just going to be a shell.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I know I just read an article saying how podcasting is saving NPR because they're getting people to listen and to support them. But, yeah, it's now, on the other hand, Radio Lab, awesome storytelling.
Some of the best.
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to like the second episode of Startup because it wasn't about, you know, Alex anymore. It was about this dating ring thing. But they had enough interesting characters there that they got me sucked into the second season. But, yeah, you got to have a good story. You got to have a compelling story. And it's great. I mean, they're master storytellers, but you know, here was this poor woman explaining to me about this video store that went out of business. And I was like, I just halfway through, I'm like, what do I care about? I mean, even
one of the points in this, right, is we think about podcasting and you know, you think about series, right? So Radiolab is great, but not every one of their shows is great, right? Startup is great, but now they have a new series. Are they going to be great in that? You know, it's hard to hit a home run every single time, right? Even in your own shows that you're doing.
Are they economically viable? That's the key.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, right, the audience will ferret this out. Right?
Exactly.
They'll figure this out. Either they'll get funding or they won't. Either they'll raise money or they won't. I mean, I know, and I hope Radiolab raises the money. I need to support them. I don't love everything NPR does. Although in the morning, I do love to say, hey, Alexa, my Amazon Echo, give me my flash briefing. And she brings the NPR news in automatically from TuneIn, which is very, very cool to get that update automatically. But I don't love everything NPR does, but I do love Radiolab. And I should support that because I love that podcast. However, they've had a couple bombs. And you listen to it and you're like, they talked about heart surgery the other day. And I was like, I don't want to listen to that one. I'm not interested in that. So anyways.
So is that your favorite podcast?
Radiolab? No, yeah. My favorite podcast is Ask the Podcast Coach, live Saturday mornings, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern.
I agree with you. I mean, all that money and production value and all that, and they cannot compete with Ask the Podcast Coach.
You're darn right they can't.
John, where can we find your podcast?
Oh, I haven't been doing mine because I've been working too much, but it's Let's Talk Metal Detecting and Treasure Hunting, and you got to be into that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
And the guys that do it for a living, they're burning through VC money too.
That's true. Awesome. All right, my man. Well, thanks for calling in.
All right. See ya.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see because it's – you know, that's where I did my little parody of dinner. And I'm like, you've got to have a story behind that stuff.
Right. You can't just interviewing people. You made a comment or a quote that is just super clamorable, which was like, just because
it's real people doesn't mean it's really interesting.
That's a great quote, right? Just because you're interviewing people. One of the things, Dave, I've been a little concerned about is I've been listening to all our podcasts lately in the network. And we've really begun to bash interviewers, right? And I think interviewing podcasts, and I think it's because of John Lee Dumas, right? The Dumas effect has taken it, and because he does his interviews and the way he does them and stuff. And I still think interviewing people is some of the most interesting podcasting that's out there, right? How you go about it, the method you do, if you use the same questions, whatever, get past it from that standpoint, right? Get past all that stuff. If you don't like Dumas, go do your own podcast that's better. That's what I say. Quit. Let's get off the bash and bandwagon there, community with him. He's doing a great job. I think he's doing a great job. I don't listen to him that often, but I think he's doing a great job. The point is though, I think interviewing, you got to interview him the right way. And you gotta just because they're real doesn't mean they're real interesting. So it's fine the interesting people to do, but I still think interviewing people is a great way to do podcasting. And so that all my shows are interview shows. Now maybe it's, so you're like, Jim, you're being sensitive, settle down. But I don't really, mine aren't the interview typical ones. We bring folks on and get interesting things. It's different every time. I don't even have a list of questions. We just start and say, tell me about yourself. And then we just kind of dig in and doing that as well. But don't let this current negative trend, I think, against interviewing podcasting get you in the dumps. If you're doing that, just do it better.
Yeah. Right?
Just do it better than anybody else.
If you go over to podcasttalentcoach.com, that's my buddy Eric K. Johnson has been doing, he's doing a four-part series. He's three episodes into it. All about doing better interviews.
Yeah.
And it's actually really interesting stuff.
It is. I've been listening to those.
We've got another caller. I love Daniel J. Lewis in the chat room. Says, next up, politics and religion. And after that, we'll be talking abortion. Absolutely.
Let's not.
Yeah. Ending in 7825. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Yeah, I like to talk about Buddha. This is Michael. Great.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing? I had a question about Periscope. If you're doing Periscope, can you set it up to where only the people that are following you view it or no?
I am. You know what? I have not periscoped. I have not mirror chatted at all yet. Jim, any insights into this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's the wild, wild west right now on both Periscope and Meerkat. Nobody really knows why those things are going to work yet or how they're going to work. We're all just, you know, it's like I said, I think I said before, it's a lot like when Twitter first came out. We're like, 140 characters? Seriously? What are you going to do with 140? This is the internet. We can do whatever we want. What are we going to do? And so it's the same kind of deal with Periscope, Meerkat. It's like, all right, so video one way with some chat. Okay, that's all old technology. That's nothing new. But there are some new things with it. One, the video is really good. Two, you can take it anywhere. This is like if you live streamed in the past, you had to be at a computer. Today, you can do it right from your phone. So last night, a buddy of mine, Mike Wieger, my co-host at on Home Gadget Geeks, he was down at the College World Series. The guys are playing this week here in Omaha. And it was opening ceremonies. And he just periscoped. He turned that thing on and it was like, hey, if you want to join me here at the opening, I think that's where it's really powerful is to go places in and go into things where not everybody can join. I watched the grand opening of a new amusement park, not a new section in Universal Studios via Periscope. And that was pretty cool. It's like I could be there and I didn't have to be there. So I think that's where this fits in. And I still think we're not to a point where it's making sense. I'll give you a story from last week with that. So we did a pre-show. We've been meerkatting our pre-shows for Home Gadget Geeks. And so Mike Wieger typed in and created the meerkat Periscope to be Home Gadget Geeks pre-show. We got nobody, right? And I'm like, put dancing monkeys in there, right? And so he put monkeys with microphones. All of a sudden, it just started flooding in with 25 or 30 people watching us. And they kept asking us, where are the monkeys? So Mike drew a picture of a monkey and we held it up. And we had this dialogue. We actually pulled a couple people from that Periscope over into our podcast that night and they listened. So there's something there. It's a little sketchy at this point. The fact that I had to put monkeys in the title to make people actually listen to it is one of those weird things. You kind of got to work it like anything else. Michael, in your case, I wouldn't mess with it, right? You've got a podcast to do. You're figuring out the mechanics of some other stuff. That's just icing on the cake, right? For you. I would not get distracted with it.
Yeah, I just we put Mario Kart in there, and man, we got a whole bunch of people coming after. But if you do anything else, they don't really come over.
No, there was, they're not. It's a gimmick.
I saw something in Nebraska Furniture Mart in there in Omaha, little store in Omaha, and it's a selfie stick, and you can put your iPod on there. When you take that selfie stick, you take the head off, you can actually put it on a tripod, and that's what I've been doing with that lately, the tripod. It comes right off.
Yep.
There's two things I want to mention. One was if you go to AmericanPrideRoastersCoffee.com, I think it is, you can get Bacon Blast Coffee. So I don't know if anybody wants Bacon Blast Coffee, but I don't like coffee. I like bacon.
Bacon-flavored coffee is delicious.
I went to a lady's site one time. I forgot what her name was last week. And I was looking at it, and I'm like, wow, looks like she hadn't logged out, you know? And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. So I went ahead and logged her out. I never told her. I just went ahead and logged her out, you know? So if you don't log out your WordPress site, and somebody else can get it somewhere else unless you log it out, correct?
No. Well, if you're on a public PC.
Yeah.
And log into your WordPress site and you don't unlock or somebody else's PC. Yeah. If it's not set, it won't log itself out automatically. There are some plugins that'll help you do that. There's some security plugins to help you do that. We talked about that the other night on Home Gadget Geeks.
Yeah. I tried to get the last Home Gadget. See, Mike Wieger has his on Tuesdays. And that's when I get up at 2 a.m. so I can watch it sometimes. And you got yours on Thursday. Well, that's right when I'm coming home, and if I got a meeting or whatever, you know. But
we record them for you, Michael, so you can catch the recording.
I saw that log out. I mean, I logged out of her site, and I couldn't understand why that was. It didn't make any sense. So,
there you go.
Yeah,
awesome.
Anyway, that's all I have to say.
All right, Michael. Have a good weekend.
Drive safe, man. Drive safe back to Omaha. All right, we'll see you.
Bye.
We probably should mention. Okay, so go ahead.
I was going to say he makes an interesting point. So we covered some, and it wasn't in the real, it was in the post show, but with WordPress, and many of us are WordPress users, right? Your login will not automatically log out if you're doing something, and you should be automatically logging out of WordPress. There's a couple WordPress plugins, I think WordFence and All-in-One WordPress Security, that are two kind of basics that every podcaster, if you're using WordPress, should be taking a look at to make sure that they've got, one, a strong firewall on their site if their internet service provider is not doing that for them, their hosting provider is not doing that for them. But two, there are some things like we always talk about changing the URL to your login, right? So it's your domain.com/wp-admin. That's the most hackable URL in the world because everybody knows it's there. These plugins allow you to easily change those to yourdomain.com/mylogin. Can be anything you want it to be, whatever it is. Just make it different so that the hackers don't have an easy access to it. Another little tip is your display name should not be the same as your username because they can scrape the display name and then use that to hammer your WordPress site because now they know your login name. So there's some security things with WordPress you should know. There's a couple plugins to help you with it. We're running out of time here, but that's some stuff you should look into if you're not to.
Is that your cat?
That is my cat.
I see a tail.
I know. The other day, I let him watch a squirrel. I put my Surface up here, and I put on a squirrel video. Now he thinks the squirrel lives up here. Jumps up every time and he will not. So then he walks around the desk and I put him down. He jumps back up. So now he thinks that, yeah. Anyways.
Well, I do want to mention, you know, if you're a regular listener to the show, we like to play with stuff. And we have officially launched a Joyride campaign. If you go to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome, you could be one of our awesome Patreons, patrons, whatever you want to call it, supporters, and we have
more joyriders. Yeah, that's what we should call. You could be one of our joyriders.
Yes, and we have one plan. If you give us a buck, we will be really, really appreciative. That's it. If you do $5 a month, you get access to the post show, which means I now need to start cutting that out. So here's an example of, hey, this sounds like a great idea that brings me more work. For $10 a month, you get access to, you get everything else that we previously mentioned, and you get access to the School of Podcasting private Facebook group. If you go $20 a month, you'll be one of the awesome people mentioned on our website now. So you actually get a link on the website.
Wow. Nice. And $50 a month gets you a bacon t-shirt. Is that the
$50 a month? You'll get all the rewards. And this is the thing I'm going to try, and you'll see where I'm only letting three people do this. I'm going to start a caster mind.
Oh,
so that's that. And like then it. If you want for $125 a month, you can have one-on-one consulting with me. And, wow. That's actually a slight discount from, my typical rate. But, if you're interested in that, go over to, askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. And we'll see how this works.
Awesome, huh? I like that /awesome.
Yeah,
because you haven't used that one yet.
You're one of the awesome supporters of the Ask the Podcast Coach.
I like it.
Hey, we've got another caller. Do you have you have anything coming up?
Yeah. No, I'm good. I have a haircut at one. I'm good.
All right. Well, ending in 5292. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Dave and Jim, it's Roy in the chat room.
Hey, buddy.
Give you a call.
Yeah.
I love the bacon shirt, dude.
Yeah, you bet. No, I love wearing it. I had no idea it'd get this much traction this morning.
Awesome. Yeah, you had you wanted Jim to explain.
Now, if you had a bacon and pancake shirt, that'd be even better.
I love pancakes, man. Love them.
Yeah, you've been firing off all sorts of great questions all day, and I was like, hey, just call on in. So you had a question about the Dumas effect, I think was the one. You wanted Jim to explain, like, what is the Dumas effect?
Yeah, my question is that I do see a lot of podcasters, they do have a formatted question. But a lot of them do all their questions freely. I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, no, I think both ways. It works for Dumas that way to do these. One of the nice things about that is that his podcasts are now very indexable. So he could go in and cut those questions out and put them together. And you could say, here's the best five answers on this question. Here's the best on this question, right? That makes the show very indexable from an audio standpoint. So I like that part. And I don't know why. this is the thing when I say the Dumas effect, where it's gotten a negative backlash from the podcast community, is I don't know why people are hung up with that of asking the same five or six questions. If you don't like it, don't listen to it, right? One of those kinds of things. But that's his method. And it's been hugely successful. Now, can other people do that and replicate it? I don't know. Maybe.
That's been the negative connotation for me is when I say
do it Dumas better than him then. Yeah, do it better than him, right?
People do that, and 6 months in, they've got 180 shows under their belt, and they go, why am I not making, $80,000 a month?
They're not John Lee Dumas.
Exactly.
The dude's got hustle.
Yeah.
And he wills things to happen. That's why. He went after this with fervor and no excuses, right? I've heard a million excuses from podcasters. I can't do it because I don't have this. I can't do it because I don't have that. Can't pay for this. I don't want to pay $5 for hosting. I don't want to. All I hear from podcasters are excuse after excuse after excuse. Dumas said, no excuses. I'm going in. I'm going in full throttle, right?
And I'm going in
And he was hugely successful. Right now, Pat Flynn is the opposite of John Lee Dumas in a lot of ways and still equally successful. And Pat has his own empire and is doing his own stuff and he's doing it a different way. And he's very successful using that methodology. But that's Pat Flynn. I think the question or the answer to this is, and this is what you say, Dave, and I support it 100%, be you.
Yeah.
Right? Just be you. Don't try to be somebody else. Yeah. Steal things from other people that work for you, but be you, 100% of you, and hustle it. If you want to make this thing successful, you got to work harder than anybody else.
Man, I think most of John's successes, but at that time, nobody was doing that at that time. I don't think so.
Doing a daily show.
From what I've read, nobody was doing that.
Well, there were people that did daily shows. He was the one that was doing a daily show of interviewing entrepreneurs. There were daily tech shows. There were other daily shows, but he was the first one that did like a daily show on. Struggling Entrepreneur has been around for 10 years, but it's a weekly show. John was the first one that came out of the gate doing a daily entrepreneur interview show that also asked the same questions. That was the other one that was new at the time. It's like, wow, this guy's asking the same questions to everybody. And again, that wasn't new. I'm sure somebody else was doing that. That was the first one that was a daily entrepreneur. So it had all the right ingredients that made it completely unique at the moment. And the fact that John had six figures in the bank didn't hurt either. He had quite the long runway to take off.
He'd done the work in advance, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He'd laid the groundwork for success in what he was doing. He's a calculated guy. He knew exactly what he was doing when he was going into it. And he's like, I'm going to take this podcasting thing and I'm going to dominate it. And
yep.
he has.
Yep.
Right.
Awesome.
And we like to knock those people off the top. So, go ahead.
Well, like you were saying, Dave, earlier was that, that I don't think he was mentioning about a podcast that was boring, the realistic, podcast of the guy, mm-hmm. New Yorker he was talking about. My opinion, a lot of John's success is based on the daily thing, but I think his energy level is high, too. If you're listening to a podcast that's boring, you're going to turn it off within 3 minutes,
Right.
If you're listening to a podcast,
make a great point.
Fun.
And the beauty of that, if you ever get a chance to meet John, that's not a put-on. When you meet John, he is an intense dude. And, when I meet him, it's like, Dave Jackson, good to see you, man. How's it? And he's that's just the way he is.
I call him Johnny Hustle.
Yeah.
He is Johnny Hustle.
Yeah.
And I dig it. I think we could use a little more of that in the podcasting community to you hustle in your way, right? Whatever that way is, you hustle in your way. But don't try and hustle like John. He's got that hustle taken care of.
Yeah. He's got it.
Go hustle your way, right?
Roy, do you have a podcast right now?
I'm getting ready to launch my podcast. I'm
awesome.
Trying to set up interviews and stuff like that right now at the moment.
That's the fun part, man. The scheduling thing is a nightmare.
Yeah, it's called Journey of a Marriage
podcast. Cool. Got a website yet?
Couples, married couples. Yes, I do. Journeyofamarriage.com.
Cool. Awesome, man.
Very nice.
Well, thanks for calling in.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You bet. Hey, one quick before we go on this story, because it relates to this. So the other day, a gal came in at work and she said, hey, I'm now commuting an hour and a half to work, which is unheard of here in Nebraska, but she's doing it. And she said, I've been starting to listen to podcasts and I've been listening to this one entrepreneur guy, Dumas, something like that. And I'm like, you're listening to John Lee Dumas. She's like, yeah. She's like, I don't really like him. I'm like, well, okay. He's not for everybody.
Right.
And she found him on his own. I said, why don't you try Pat Flynn? go out to what's his
Smart Passive Income.
Smart Passive Income. And she came back a couple days later. She's like, I really like Pat. And so not everybody's for everybody, and everybody has different styles. And she's hooked now on Pat Flynn, which, by the way, Michael Hyatt and Pat Flynn talked about StrengthsFinder. Dave, did you take the StrengthsFinder?
I haven't done it yet.
You got the book?
It's sitting right here. It's taunting me every day, and I'm like,
all right. Yeah, those guys, Michael Hyatt's a big fan of StrengthsFinder. And so it was fun to see my worlds collide, right? My podcasting world, my work world, and these guys are talking about StrengthsFinder. Pretty cool. But, you know, listen to who you like and leave everybody else alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I always use the analogy of Jimi Hendrix. Here's a guy that liked the blues. He liked jazz, you know, liked really loud distorted guitar, put them together and you get Jimi Hendrix, you know, and I always say, who's the next Hendrix of podcasting that's going to take something and, you know, who knows, maybe somebody's going to start doing a podcast on their Apple Watch. And
well, when you're you and you take hustle to the equation, you break the mold, and that's what all these people have done. And so be you, get some hustle, break the mold.
Yeah. And it may be as simple as releasing on a different day. Mike Dell broke the news that Apple was discontinuing the podcast at Apple.com, and he was the first one to do it. Why? Because he puts his show out, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday, and everybody else, most of us are doing it on Monday. So that news came out, and he's like, all right, I'm the first one to say it. So I was like, there you go. That's a way to stand out. Publish on a different day. You never know. Yeah, we are here every Saturday morning at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. AskThePodcastCoach.com/live. Don't forget, if you want to be a one of our joyride people, go out to AskThePodcastCoach.com/awesome. It'd be interesting to see, to report back on if anybody has signed up. That'll be great fun. And Jim, where can everybody find you?
Oh, very simply, out at TheAverageGuy.tv.
You can find me at SchoolOfPodcasting.com. Don't forget to use the coupon code ASK20. To save off your first month at the School of Podcasting. So if you're thinking of starting a podcast, the best time to start a podcast is about 10 years ago. The second time to start a podcast, best time, now, right now. So don't overthink it. Just do it. And we'll see you again next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.